Up next, we have our book reading program, Ohomini Iyotaka, read by Gail Hubling.
Welcome to Ohomini Iyotaka, the reading of Hummingbird Squash, written by Terry Lofton. Pumpkin Arguments. Hummingbird ran on ahead. It was just before 3 o'clock. She slowed when she saw the crowd milling about in front of the entrance. Suddenly, a man with a microphone came running toward her. It was MC Medicine Cave Charlie, the DJ from KHOT, the home of the Thunderbirds, the reservation radio station. He was doubling as the roving reporter at the powwow today. The rest of the group caught up to Hummingbird just as she was wondering what it would be like to be on the radio. Biting off a wedge of potato from his veggie dog, Rain said, "Looks like he's going to ask you some questions." Tom wiped his mouth with a napkin and said, "Why don't the rest of you go on in? Bird and I will talk to Charlie." Still munching, the little troop of squash supporters headed for the big tent, smiling at the DJ as they passed. Tom shook hands with Charlie, who announced into the microphone, "Well, folks, we finally found the famous Hummingbird and her dad here at the judge's tent. Let's see what she can tell us about her 9-foot squash. How did you grow it so big?"
"I don't really know. I put fertilizer on the seeds and then it got transplanted and it just grew, kind of on its own."
"Uh-huh. Well, everybody's waiting for the judges to make the decision whether it's eligible for the Monster Pumpkin Weigh-Off. What are you going to say to convince them, Hummingbird?"
"Well, Miss Swallow is going to speak for us. I guess she'll talk about its scientific classification. You know, how it's related to pumpkins."
"Sure, of course, it's a classification. I know our listeners will be really interested in that. Best of luck." Looking for a more exciting interview, MC Charlie had quickly moved on to a small crowd gathered around a table advertising, "Guess the giant squash's weight." Grandma Hetty was selling guesses for $1. The prize was a lap quilt piece by the ladies at the senior center. Tom laughed and said, "We've got some enterprising elders around here." Father and daughter ducked into the tent. Simon stopped them before they got past the entrance. He was handing out copies of his web searches about the eligibility of squash and pumpkin contests. Apparently, Grandma wasn't the only one being enterprising that morning. Giving a copy to Tom, Simon explained excitedly, "Maybe it'll help us if we can get the crowd on our side." Tom thought, "This boy will be running for tribal council before he's out of high school." Walter and Larry rushed past them, hauling in extra chairs to seat the still growing audience. They stopped long enough to tell Bird they were pulling for her. Walter said, "Mr. Johnson's letting us off parking lot duty so we can stay and see how it turns out." Larry pointed to the portable bleachers that had been hastily assembled by some powwow volunteers. "Look, Bird, everybody's here. Mr. Barry, Coach Brown, and a small cluster of teachers had commandeered a whole row of the bleachers. Mr. Pence wasn't with them. He was seated on a portable camp stool he had set up behind the judge's table. Thunder Rockers from the middle school were sitting on some butcher paper they had spread out on the sawdust floor. Who needed chairs? Little Deb, Star, and Sammy jumped up from the group and ran over to congratulate Hummingbird. Sammy was gushing as usual. "This is so much better than the science fair, Bird." Hummingbird bumped fists with her gal pals and said thanks. She was really glad they were there. Not to pass up a little enterprise himself, Boo was setting out bottles of water on the judge's table, complement of booze, gas, and grocery. He handed a bottle to Miss Swallow, who was already back from the school. She was busy moving the easel holding the John Deere tractor display to one side of the judge's table. When she saw Bird, she called out, "Bird, will you help me put up these pictures of the coyote squash?"
"Sure, Miss Swallow."
Bird went to the easel and took down the tractor advertisements. Pinning up the photocopies, she said, "Just think. If the coyote squash hadn't been on the tree we found in the shed, you wouldn't have printed off these pictures." Miss Swallow reflected on Hummingbird's comment. "You're right, Bird. If it wasn't for that tree, I wouldn't know much about coyote squash." She glanced at her stack of notes. Maybe nothing at all. Hearing a little stir in the crowd, she turned and looked toward the tent entrance. The Sorrell family had come in and was looking around for seats. A volunteer indicated three metal chairs at the front. Hoke, Melvin, and Jesse headed toward those seats, while Athea and Chris climbed to the top row of the bleachers and found an empty space on one end. Since his 10-day suspension began, Chris had been spending most of his time at home. He had focused on his school assignments and had attended a counseling session his mother set up with the tribe's youth and family counseling program. Chris had made only brief replies to the counselor's questions, but he had opened up to his mother when they returned home. For the first time, she really listened to his complaints about Melvin and Jesse. In the days since then, things had been more relaxed between Chris and his mother. She had even stood up to his stepdad when Melvin started hassling him for getting kicked out of school. That was a first. Chris watched Hummingbird helping Miss Swallow. He wasn't very interested in what his self-perceived rival was doing. Even when the judges entered the tent, he merely glanced at them with indifference. He already knew how this debate was going to turn out. Les Johnson, the contest coordinator, made his way to the judges' table. He laid out a set of folders at each judge's place containing the registration forms for the contest entries, the Sorrell's complaint, and a copy of the International Pumpkin Federation Manual, IPF. He checked the microphones on the table and then pulled out a chair for the senior judge, Alva Eddy. She was a well-known gardener on the reservation. Dave Korn, Mrs. Korn's husband, famous for his prize-winning pie pumpkins, seated himself next to Alva. The last judge was Mike Goodface, a respected referee in the junior division at local Golden Gloves bouts. Mike had a reputation for being a fair man. Everybody trusted his rulings. Looking around the tent, Hummingbird saw that it had just about reached capacity. The police chief, Willard Fox Chief, was one of the last people to squeeze in. He was escorting Rain's great-grandmother, who was also Willard's great-aunt, to some lawn chairs that had been set up for elders. Grandma Hattie sat down and waved at Bird, mouthing, "Good luck." Hummingbird waved back and quickly finished tacking up a hand-drawn chart Miss Swallow gave her. Then, passing on the good luck wish to her favorite teacher, she hurried to join her family and friends. Les opened the hearing by welcoming everyone and thanking the volunteers for setting up the seating so quickly. He reminded the attendees of the no smoking sign and quickly reviewed the issue to be debated, explaining that Miss Swallow would answer the judge's questions for Hummingbird. The judge's questions, he added, would give the audience a good idea of the criteria for a qualified entry. Alva led off with a statement that would not have surprised anyone who had correctly read the rules of the International Pumpkin Federation. Mr. Hoke Sorrell has protested that the fruit entered by Hummingbird is not a pumpkin and is, therefore, not allowed. We disagree with Mr. Sorrell. The IPF allows squashes to enter a giant pumpkin competition. The winner is the heaviest pumpkin or squash. Someone in the audience impatiently called out, "Who cares what it is? How come it's so big?" Alva nodded. I know. Like everybody here, I want to know how Hummingbird's entry grew so large. But our job right now is to determine what it is, not how it got to be 9 feet tall. So, Betty, can you tell us what that big yellow thing is? A pumpkin or a squash? Miss Swallow stood up. No, Alva, I can't. Hummingbird's yelp was lost in the crowd's surprised reaction. Boomer protested loudly. That's not what she's supposed to say. Nadine shushed her son, but like everyone, she didn't know what Miss Swallow was up to. Rain and Simon didn't miss the celebration in the front row. Hoke was clapping and Melvin and Jesse were high-fiving each other. When the audience settled down, Mike Goodface leaned forward and asked, "Then what is it, Miss Swallow?" "It's the fruit of a plant whose scientific name is Cucurbita foetidissima. It's a gourd, most often called a stinking gourd or stinking buffalo gourd, but sometimes called a coyote squash." Miss Swallow continued, "I would like to request that this gourd be allowed in the contest. I have several photos of the plant here, and as you can see, its fruit is normally about the size of a tennis ball." Pointing to two photos, she said, "The stinking gourd has green and white stripes like a squash when it is young, and it's yellow like a pumpkin when it's mature. Therefore, it meets the IPF's color requirements for a squash and a pumpkin. Which is it most related to, a pumpkin or a squash? Dave Korn asked. Actually, a pumpkin is a squash, a winter squash. Sorry, I know this is very confusing. These plants are so closely related that it is hard to classify them as different. Pointing to a family tree chart on the easel, she explained, the pumpkins and squashes all belong to the gourd family and to a tribe of the gourds called the cucurbitae. One of the groups in that tribe is called the cucurbits. They are the edible gourds, like squashes and pumpkins. The stinking gourd is a cucurbit, but the fruit is poisonous. It is not edible. Trying to smash hummingbird squash one more time, Melvin suddenly yelled, "Yeah, nobody would want to eat it. It stinks like a rotten sewer. Step on it and you'll have to throw away your shoes." Miss Swallow turned and stared at Melvin. How did he know what a stinking buffalo gourd smelled like? Of course, she thought, he would know if he had crushed its leaves, like in Aunt Chick's garden. Willard was thinking similar thoughts. He had stepped out from behind Grandma Hetty to see who was talking. Those were the same words that the neighborhood watch officer had used to describe that vandalism case. Willard made a mental note to ask Melvin a few questions. They both refocused their attention on the judges when Elva Eddy responded to Melvin. Playing on Miss Swallow's reference to the cucurbit tribe, she joked, "Because a tribal member stinks, young man, you wouldn't take away his enrollment, would you? Maybe he just needs a bath." Laughter rippled across the crowd. Elva held up her hand for quiet. Getting serious again, she said, "Betty, you just said that squashes and pumpkins are edible gourds. Can we eat any part of the stinking gourd? Or," she smiled, "is it really just a big weed?" Miss Swallow smiled too. "No, it's much more than a weed. Our ancestors roasted the seeds or ground them into flour. They're really high in protein and healthy fats. Traditionally, the fruit has been used as soap and for medicines and to control insects. I think we should take into account that animals benefit from the gourd too. Porcupines and coyotes eat the seeds. There are even new ones being discovered for the stinking gourd. The root can weigh as much as 220 pounds and can burn like wood. There's some research showing it can be used for fuel in countries that have few natural resources." The judges jotted down a few notes. Then they looked at Les and nodded. They had no more questions. Les turned to the Sorrels. "Is there anything you would like to say, Mr. Sorrel?" Hope just folded his arms and stated forcefully, "A pumpkin is a pumpkin." The judges got up and conferred with Les. He pulled a microphone toward him and announced that they were retiring to make their decision. People immediately began to stand up and chat with their neighbors, but nobody left. They weren't giving up their seats. This show was too good. Elva, Dave, and Mike picked up their folding chairs and exited the tent. They placed them in a circle under a nearby awning set up for picnickers. Putting their heads together, they quickly arrived at the most important questions to be discussed. Mike went first. "What about the fact that it's poisonous and can't be eaten?" "We don't eat giant pumpkins either. They're just ornamentals." "That shouldn't be a reason to exclude hummingbird's entry," Dave replied. "Okay, that settles it," said Elva. "What about Miss Swallow's request that we broaden the rules to allow gourds?" Not waiting for an answer from her fellow judges, she went on. "I don't like the idea of excluding any plant in the gourd family. I think we should allow it as a gourd." But should we be creating our own rules?" Dave asked. "Why not? It's our contest." Elva was a big supporter for tribal sovereignty. She had been an activist in her day and always took a stand for self-determination. "We should follow our own values. Why do we need the IPF? I say family comes before rules." "But think about it, Elva," Dave countered. "Can you imagine how much that thing out there weighs? The IPF would recognize our tribe as growing the biggest cucurbit in the world. If we don't go by the rules, the weight won't count. Hummingbird squash could put us on the agricultural map." Elva considered this and backed off a little. Then she said, "But we all agree that it is the same tribe as the squashes and pumpkins." Both men nodded yes. "Then we can safely classify it as a squash. That doesn't violate any rules, even the ones about the color requirements. I think we're done." "We're making the right decision," Mike said, "but I'd like to offer a suggestion. Why don't we have two divisions, one for pumpkins and one for squash? The winner of each division goes on to compete for the title of biggest squash or pumpkin. Hulk wouldn't win the overall title, but he can still claim he grew the biggest pumpkin, which would probably be true. Then we write to the IPF and suggest that they include Gores in the competition. I'm with you, Alva, on the family thing. We just need to change the rules, not break them. Alva and Dave smiled at Mike. You're a wise man, Mr. Goodface, Alva said. Apparently the crowd that had been waiting for their decision agreed. The cheer that went up could be heard across the fairgrounds. And that concludes Pumpkin Arguments.
This program is made possible by funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.